to give special prayers for Narottaka Gopal Dasi, who's in critical condition right now. Please, everyone, dear Lord Narsingadev, if you so desire, please save our dear Narottaka Gopal Dasi from imminent danger. All of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis today who are present and who agree with this, please say Hare Krishna. I would also ask to read the following eulogy for Garga Muni, a disciple of His Holiness Bhir Krishna Goswami. Huh? Of Sridhar Maharaj. This is a Garga Muni eulogy. Apparently he just passed away. He writes, "All glories to Srila Prabhupada, we are greatly saddened to hear the sudden departure of Garga Muni Prabhu. Garga Muni is the initiated disciple of His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, as dear disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sridhar Maharaj was instrumental in assisting Srila Prabhupada in establishing the Bombay Temple at Juhu and other projects in India. I've known Garga Muni for many years, first in my capacity as GBC of his home country, Slovenia, and then as dear friend and Shiksha disciple. Garga Muni was in line to take sannyas from me in the near future. Knowing of Garga Muni's strict adherence to the Krishna conscious process, his exemplary Vaishnava qualities, and his high level of knowledge of the Vaishnava scriptures, I requested him to come to Fiji to assist in establishing high standards of Vaishnava behavior and education. While in Fiji, he inspired many devotees and won the heart of all the Vaishnavas. Everyone who met him loved him and felt inspired by him. He was very, very close to me, and I was depending on his assistance in carrying out Srila Prabhupada Society in Fiji and elsewhere. It is a testimony, tremendous loss for myself and Srila Prabhupada's movement. Krishna has decided to take him elsewhere to render service in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. His departure from the planet was exemplary and something that we all should aspire for, surrounded by loving devotees chanting the holy name. He left this world to rejoin his spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. All glories to His Grace Garga Muni Prabhu, years in Srila Prabhupada's service, Bhir Krishna Das Goswami, Gaur Premanande. Garga Muni Prabhu Ki.
Did you bring your axe? Is there an axe? Ask him, he knows everything. Ask him, he knows everything.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Unatira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi ki jai, Samveda Bhakti Rindu ki jai. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. Go up, Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We'll be studying verse 888 today, much to the happiness of anybody from China. And, right? And we're going to read the first few verses that don't have purports. Not that we have to, but we want to. Text number 3. Thereafter a horse named Utraishrava, which was as white as the moon, was generated. Bali Maharaj, desired to possess this horse, and Indra, the king of heaven, did not protest, for he had previously been so advised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 4. As the next result of the churning, the king of elephants named Airavata was generated. This elephant was white, and with its four tusks, it defied the glories of Kailas Mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva. Text 5. Thereafter, O king, eight great elephants, which could go in any direction, were generated. They were headed by Airavana. Eight she-elephants headed by Abramu were also generated. Purport. The names of the eight elephants were Airavana, Pundarika, Vamana, Kumuda, Anjana, Pushpadanta, Sarvaboma, and Supratika. Text number 6. Generated thereafter from the great ocean were the celebrated gems Kashtubha Mani and Padmarga Mani. Lord Vishnu, to decorate his chest, desired to possess them. Generated next was the Parijata flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O king, as you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions, this Parijata fulfills the desires of everyone. Text 7. Next there appeared the Apsaras, who were used as prostitutes on the heavenly planets. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets, and were dressed in fine, attractive clothing. The Apsaras move very slowly in an attractive style that bewilders the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. Today's verse is number 8. Tatash Chavirabhut Sakshat Shri Rama Bhagavat Pura Shri Rama Bhagavat Pura Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Saudamani Yata Vidyut Saudamani Yata Tatash Charvirabhut Sakshat Shri Rama Bhagavat Para Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Saudamani Yata. Tatash Chavirabhut Sakshach Shri Rama Bhagavat Pura Ranjayanti Disha Kantya. Yata. Tatash Chavirabhut Sakshach Shri Rama Bhagavat Pura Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Saudamyami Yata. Vaishnavis. Tatash Chavirabhut Sakshach Shri Rama Bhagavat Vara Rajayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Saudamani Yata Tatash Chavirabhut Sakshach Shri Rama Bhagavat Para Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Saudamyami Yata Tata. Thereafter, cha, and avirabhut, manifested, sakshat, directly, Shri, the goddess of fortune, Rama, known as Rama, Bhagavat Pura, absolutely inclined to be possessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rajayanti, illuminating, Disha, all directions, Kantya, by luster, Vidyut, lightning, Saudamani, Saudamani, Yata, as. Translation. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Please repeat. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri means opulence. Krishna is the owner of all opulences. Bhuktaran jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam nyatvamam shantam ruchchati. This peace formula for the world is given in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. When people know that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the most intimate, well-wishing friend of all living entities, peace and prosperity will ensue all over the world. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls, being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord, want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all the wealth presented by Shri, the goddess of fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to all the acharyas, and to all the devotees who are present here today. Hare Krishna. This is an especially auspicious verse because we're here for the appearance of Rama, the internal potency of the Lord, who is always auspicious. That is, for those who are devotees. Because there's a principle that when misused, there's a reversal of fortune that occurs in the life of the parts and parcels of the Lord. This is called Hladatapatraya. This means that what is normally beneficial becomes a source of misery and distress. The internal potency of the Lord, when translated through the process of creation in the material world, becomes a source of distress for the living entities. The various potencies of the Lord, which bring knowledge, sustenance, bliss in the spiritual world, come into the material world as three modes of material nature which bind the living entities in various ways. And very particularly, we can see here that everyone is after Rama. This is mentioned in the verse by Karbhajana Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, Tikvasudustyaja Suritsita Raja Lakshmim, mentioning how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had walked away from the goddess of fortune because he's completely detached. But that's the one that everyone's after. Everyone's looking for the goddess of fortune everywhere. And when misunderstood and misused, then becomes a source of difficulty. I read some years ago a report about people who had won the state lottery in California, and the results afterwards. The idea they had was, by getting a huge sum of money, they would then enjoy life forever. And none of it ever worked out. In fact, there was a writer who followed these people specifically and interviewed them and watched their lives. One of them I particularly remember was one of the biggest winners of all. He won about $500 million in the Super Lotto. There's a description of the huge house he had bought. And when the interviewer had approached the house, he saw that there was a forlorn and skinny horse walking around on the lawn. It wasn't a proper place for a horse, and obviously the person didn't know how to take care of it. And when he went inside, he saw the similar disarray. He'd collected all kinds of game machines. They were lined up throughout the different rooms of the house and so forth. And the person eventually became an inveterate alcoholic and had slid into a very desperate situation in life. The idea was that was seemed to be okay, that by getting a lot of money, then I'll become happy. Of course, that's an extreme example, one might say. However, according to the principle I mentioned, Thleta Tapachaya, it applies everywhere in the material world. And therefore, Krishna, out of his kindness, gives us the actual formula for happiness in the Bhagavad Gita: Jagnartha Kamano Nyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandana Tadartam Karma Konteya Mukta Sangha Samachara. He said that by yajna, you can actually become prosperous and happy. If you sacrifice, this is counterintuitive, but if I sacrifice for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I give to Him, because, as mentioned in this purport, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, He's the right person to give to. Because when you give to Krishna, because we're parts and parcels of Krishna, then we also become enriched simultaneously. This is a principle that Prahlad Maharaj mentions in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam: Naivatmana Prabodayam Nijalabha Purno Manam Janada Vidusa Karuno Vranite Yat Yajjano Bhagavati Viditita Kaman Tachchatmane Pratimukasya Tamukha Shri. And he gives the example that when you decorate your face and then you look in the mirror, the reflection is also decorated. How about that? And so in a similar way, he said, when we give to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we ourselves become decorated. This is a great revelation to have. Because the big mistake in the material world is to think that I'm out for myself and that I can somehow or other get ahead independently. But if one discovers the principle that I'm actually an eternal giver, that's what I'm meant to do, I'm meant to give. By giving, I grow, and by giving, I become happy. And then, of course, we may not find the right person to take who can actually satisfy us when we do give. People all the time are complaining about unrequited love, aren't they? Practically every culture has myriad of songs about how I gave and I gave and I gave and I gave, and then they took off in a pickup truck and took the dog with them. And there they go off into the sunset. And this is the norm in the material world. But living entities want to give. We see this around us. People are always looking places to, like, if you go to any place there's a little pool of water, you'll find people come up and they go, throw money in there. Why? That's the nature of living entities. They want to throw money in somewhere. It's Shri, it's Lakshmi. And they think, I'll just throw it in there, something good will happen. And so nothing really good happens. They just mess up the pool. But it shows that the living entity wants, has this inclination, I want to give somewhere. So Krishna says, you give to me. Bhuktaram yagatapasam. I can take it. I'll take everything. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the Mahaprakash, 21 hours sitting in Shiva's Angam, and then started, as he sat down on the throne of Vishnu, revealed that he was the supreme enjoyer. And he told the devotees, you bring me things to eat. So they started bringing bananas. And then, not just a few bananas, but hundreds, and then thousands, and tens of thousands of bananas. I mean, how many bananas can you eat? When I was younger, I could eat a lot of bananas, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating tens of thousands of bananas, and then pots of yogurt and milk, and he was just drinking them all, taking it all in Ganga water, and everything they could bring, he would take. It was the same when Krishna manifested as Govardhan Hill, and he said, feed me. So they were running everywhere and bringing more and more and more. He was taking and taking and taking. So this is what brings happiness to the living entity, is to find a place where I can actually give, because I'm inherently a giver, and then find someone who can take, and then who reciprocates, because I'm part and parcel of Krishna. It just says when the stomach takes the food, then it gets distributed to all the different parts of the body. So Supreme Personality of Godhead, we find that person to whom we can give ourselves, then we become greatly fortunate. And to go on with the discrepancies of the material world, there are many observations given about how one can't even keep wealth at all here. I'm thinking of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when Judd Barrett is speaking to Maharaj Rahugana, and he brings up how one man figures out how to steal some money from somewhere. He steals the money and gets away with it. But then another man, Devadatta, comes along and he steals it from the man who stole. And he thinks, oh, very good. And then the man Vishnu Mitra, he comes along and steals from Devadatta. As all this stealing and keeping is going on, the money is the same, but it's just transferring hands from one person to another. And all the time, it actually belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Each person holds it for a few seconds and thinks, oh, this is mine. And similarly, in the Bhagavatam 12th canto, in the Bhumi Gita, a short, very powerful chapter for perspective on this subject. Bhumi herself, who could be a better witness to the insanity of trying to hold on to material wealth for oneself, sees that kings come and fight over the land. They try to conquer pieces of land. And not only they want to conquer the whole world. She says they fight and fight, and finally they're successful. To some degree they conquer either part of the world or the whole world, but that's not enough. They want the oceans too, she says. That's always seemed even more ridiculous, because practically speaking, how do you measure whose water it is, where to, up to which point? In fact, in New York there's air rights, and how far you can build upward, because you can own the air above. In Colorado, for some time, they might have changed the law, but there were water rights. You couldn't catch water from the sky. You'd be arrested, because that belonged to somebody else. And there were laws against that. So there are all these ways in which Bhumi is saying that people are fighting over these things. But she said, it's ridiculous. I've watched millions of them come and go. And it's infantile, the way they fight over these things. So Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that Shruti Pratyaksham Aityam Anumanam Chatushtayam Pramani Shvadamastara Vikalpatsa Virajate. One should be observant about this condition of the world. should look at the different kinds of evidence. Shruti, you can hear from the Shruti, the material world's a temporary place. In fact, recently while we were in Govardhan during the Kartik month, we sat in a room with about 15 devotees and we read the whole third and fourth canto straight through. And afterwards, one of the brahmacharis, he went to his guru and he said, "What was I thinking?" Because there's such shocking evidence there about the futility of trying to enjoy in the material world. So the verse says, "You Shruti, and Pratyaksha, see for yourself, ITM," and that means a traditional wisdom. Shruti Pratyaksham ITM Anuman, and be reasonable, you reason about it. And then he said, Pramani Shavanastana, see that the material world is not substantial, and Vikalpatsa Virajite, therefore don't become attached to it because you can't keep it. There's a lot of, on the negative side about how the material world is temporary and how trying to hold on to wealth is futile and so forth. And then on the positive side, Krishna is so kind that even a little bit of yajna, Prabhupada writes about the verse Pratam Pushpam Palam Toyam, that these are insignificant things. If one makes a sacrifice, I mean, where can you get a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water? Where? Anywhere and everywhere. And it's not expensive. But if you just offer it to Krishna with some gratitude, then he'll accept it. And the yajna is complete because of that. And Krishna will bless the person because of that. So, on the positive side, Krishna is the supreme reciprocator and gives everyone an opportunity to worship him, even in the most simple way. And now I'll take a few reflections. That means anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind. The chair recognizes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. My reflection is that I heard you speak about the principle of the eternal giver, and the living entity, our nature, is that we always want to give something to someone, but we don't always know who's the right person that we can give to.
Yeah, that's why we're created. There's ekobahushyam. The one becomes many for his personal enjoyment. And the living entities are little appreciators. They cooperate and they appreciate. By appreciating the Supreme Personality of God, then they become glorified. They become full and happy. And by giving, they become filled up. This is the perfect arrangement. So I was saying earlier that if one realizes this, then one's life can turn around. Because then I think, how can I give? How can I give more to Krishna? One studies very deeply, what are the ways in which I can give myself, give my resources, give my mind to Krishna? Thank you. What else?
Queen Kunti warns us about the perils of opulences that may become bestowed upon a devotee. We all know the beautiful prayer, Janmai Svarya Shruti Shubir Enamanak Mandak Puman, that these things can make us mad. We can become completely maddened by it. And we've all probably seen examples of devotees that were doing okay in spiritual life, and then somehow material opulences were bestowed upon them. either physical or even, you know, the accolades of being a leader, those types of opulences as well. How do we protect ourselves when opulence comes upon a devotee, to be sure to not become, to use them for our own gratification, but rather very carefully turn them all back and offer them at Krishna's lotus feet?
Well, I've always found it helpful to be around more advanced association, especially people who are willing to correct me. It's nothing like a good chastisement, like a smack upside the head to get you sober. If you can find that, then it's a really good situation to be in. A senior devotees, those who are more advanced, who can correct. That's very helpful. So that they can watch out for that kind of thing. And also, you know, Prabhupada mentions that it's a regulative principle not to fall down. He writes this in the Bhagavatam. One of the regular principles is not to fall down. And he said, the way to achieve that is to be very careful. So one can, at regular intervals, check in and see, why am I doing certain things? Why am I keeping certain things? And so forth.
Prabhu, you mentioned earlier that our nature is to be eternal givers. But then we look for the right person to give it to. But if our nature is to be a giver, then why isn't it that when we give, whether there's reciprocation or not, we're not still satisfied? Why can't we just give and be satisfied with that nature?
Well, you can to a certain degree. That's why in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the gradation of levels of service. He says, always think of me, give everything to me. If you can't do that, then practice doing that through the regulations of devotional service. And then he said, if you can't do that, then just try to work for me and then give the fruited result. And if you can't do that, then just try to be charitable. Give somewhere. And if you give anywhere and you'll feel the same thing. And when you give something away, you realize, hey, I'm still alive. I survived that one. And you start to think, and then you'll see, actually, people do reciprocate in some way. But the best of all circumstances is when one learns how to direct all one's energy to Krishna. But Krishna even recommends the idea of being charitable. Because you'll see from that, that you're not your body. Yes. 1, 2.
Okay, Hare Krishna. That's such a good attitude for me, because what I try to do is I have projects in mind, like Laguna Beach Temple needs help, and we have this big project next door, the TOVP, and to think that when money comes, I already know what I'm going to do with it. That's all. So when money comes, you give to there first. Even if things get a little difficult, like some people might be crying because yesterday American stock market went down about 2%, and I think Indian went down almost 6. But people who have money, they should be thinking, instead of thinking, well, now that came, I can't give, it's better to think, I better give something now while I still have an opportunity to give, because then you get the eternal benefit. So yep. Giving should come first.
It's called preemptive giving.
Yes.
As that once happened to me at Radhakund, I went there. That was the first day that I had gotten to Govardhan. I stay there during Kartik each year. I went to take my bath in Radhakund. I put my gumsha on. I put my clothes on the bank of the Radhakund, everything else that I had, and I went in, took my shnan, said Gayatri, came back out, and my stuff was gone. So then we asked the monkeys. They said, we didn't take it. We don't do stuff like that. And I looked into the crowd of people and I thought, in India, when it's gone, it's gone. And then I realized, here I am. I have a gumsha. And I've got about 6 miles to walk. And so I just pretended I was a sadhu. And it's like, I'm American sadhu. This is how I roll. And I walked all the way to the ashram. And Of course, it wasn't all my stuff. It was just my kurta had some, I had some cash, and I had my notebook, pen, things like that. But when I got back to the ashram, see, normally when it, before I would leave that place, I would give a donation. But this time, I went straight to my locker, got the donation out, and I went to Asit Krishna, the Mahant, and I said, here's my donation now. Which reminded me of a joke I heard about two guys walking down the street in Omaha, Nebraska. Hope nobody's from there. I tried to pick a town. And a gunman jumps out. They're two friends. And the gunman jumps out and says, give me all your money. And so they raise their hands, and one guy says to the gunman, okay, no problem here, but just give me 1 second, okay? So he pulls out his wallet, and he turns to his friend. And he says, Larry, here's the $20 I owe you. And so... If one is wise enough to see that, as Didichi is a similar principle, Didichi, when he was asked, he relied on that principle. He said, yeah, it's going to be taken anyway, at any time. Therefore, better I give it away, because you don't get any credit when it's taken away. You're just, people go, what a fool, it was stolen. But when you give it away before it's taken away, then you become immemorialized. Like Bali Maharaj, he just said, okay, I'll give it. His guru said, don't do it. Everyone said, no, this is not a good idea. And he said, no, I think I'll do it. And because of that, he became famous. And so the principle is so powerful that if one learns to honor a goddess Rama properly and utilize whatever wealth one has for the service of Krishna, then one's life becomes auspicious. Yes.
I like the point that you said when we decorate Krishna, that we also become decorated. And I was just thinking, you know, in America especially, but many places, it's a multi-billion dollar business, buying creams and lotions and all kinds of makeup and things, and just jewelry, like unbelievable amounts. You could save every hungry person in the world 10 times over with what's spent on makeup and jewels today. And the only way really, I mean, when we see the deities looking so beautiful, you feel satisfied. You don't need to do that. But it's just all trying to stay young and beautiful and be Radharani or something. You know, and so it just sort of struck me that that's our true satisfaction, and we're so fortunate that we have that opportunity.
Yes. And then, so Prabhupada, just in closing, Prabhupada points out that this is, everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And it's so satisfying. I've noticed in ISKCON temples, after the morning program, like fairly recently I was in Chicago, and right after the morning program, for the next events were going to happen, most of the devotees cleared out, everyone went, and then people who are on their way to work would come to the temple, and they just sit there in front of the deity and just look at the deity. And I was thinking, who are these people, how they can sit there for 15-20 minutes and just gaze at the deity? And I was thinking, this is the only place in Chicago where you can come and sit and look at Krishna. And also, I think the same thing in Silicon Valley, where we live. I just noticed there's a car dealership, must be an Asian car dealership, because they put up a huge statue of Buddha that's facing the 101 freeway. So when you go by the car dealership, Buddha's there, you know, giving a benediction. And I always offer my obeisances when I go by. But I was thinking, it's the only spiritual image along the freeway anywhere. I mean, you could drive up the you could drive to Los Angeles 600 miles and you won't see another spiritual image. Maybe a cross, which doesn't invoke a lot of you know, rasa. You know, but people don't see these things. They don't get it. They don't have a target. They don't know where to put their resources. So we go out.
That's why we go out, because for Lord Chaitanya and the Sankirtan movement, it's a huge yajna pit, gigantic, and it grows and grows and grows. It's like a fire that can consume unlimited amounts of people's contributions. And people don't know at first this principle of giving. So that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates went out and they'd meet people and they'd invite them to come in and give. And when we go out for Sankirtan, we invite each person, please give. In fact, when I teach a book distribution, I tell the devotees that we're training that don't deprive people of the opportunity to give a donation, because that's where they start to feel that they've connected to Krishna. And when I ask people, for instance, on the street or door to door or anywhere else for a donation, I always say that we don't sell the book like in a bookstore. We only ask for donation. We don't need the money, but it's an ancient principle. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And out of thousands of people that I've told that to, I can think of maybe three that haven't given a donation based on that. And it's because it's true. And when you tell people that, they get it. They say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, that I'm giving for myself because I'm going to get benefit. So our movement, we establish temples so people can come. They'll bring in a melon. They'll put it on the altar. That's nice. They'll come and they'll give their time, their resources. And then for the rest of the world, we go out and we invite people to participate in the yajna. Jump in somehow or other and take advantage. And this is the great task of the Krishna Conscious Movement: give everyone a chance to contribute, to feed Krishna by giving their resources, and they'll become happy. Gaur Premanande Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, Haribo. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Vancha Kalpata Rishcha Kripasan Bevacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Nantakoti Vaishnavi Nikijaya.